So now you can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the monthly meeting of the Emergency Preparation Preparedness Committee of the Kensington Fire Protection District. I'm Mario Nagel. I'm co-chair of this committee, along with Don Gomer, who's sitting beside me. And before we can I'm calling the meeting to order right now, but before we have roll call, we have a couple of matters of business. First of all, I will have to leave at 4:30. I have a emergency phone call that I have to be on at 5 o'clock. So Don will be taking over as to finish the meeting, unless we're finished at 4:30. And secondly, Danielle McDougall, we're committee members, and she is ill today, so she did not want to attend in person. And you can attend remotely twice a year, as long as the committee approves. And at this point, I'll entertain a motion to allow Danielle Madugo to attend the meeting remotely.
I'll move to Danielle Madugo to attend the meeting remotely.
Great. Do I have a second? I guess I'll have a roll call. So, Lisa Kerman.
Here.
Katie Schlott. Peter Liddell.
Here.
Yeah, he just
joined remotely.
Is here.
Here.
Paul Moss has already told us he's not going to be here, and David Staff.
Here.
And Don Dunbar is here, and I am here. Great.
So, we have to vote on the motion.
Yeah, we should vote on.
Yeah, okay. Now that we've got a roll call, we can vote on the motion to allow Danny to I'll have a roll call vote for that. Again, Lisa Corona.
Yes.
Katie Clark.
Yes.
Peter Liddell. It's not here.
Yes.
Yeah. Paul David Spack.
Yes.
And I vote yes. Yes. Down to the votes.
Okay, so our
and
next
you do have a court.
Yeah. And so next we've got Peter Liddell remote. So if he wants to Peter, I didn't check with you ahead of time. If you're gonna attend remotely, we need to do the same thing with having the committee vote to approve it, and it would count toward your 2 calendar year. Options to attend remotely, and it would be due to some illness, childcare, some other reason, or you could attend as a member of the public.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, Peter Liddell.
I'll just be a member of the public.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. So Peter Liddell is here just as a member of the public.
Yes.
Great. Okay. With that, those housekeeping. Things out of the way. This is the time for public comment. Place on the agenda reserved for comments and inquiries concerning these matters that do not otherwise appear on the agenda. Do I have any public comment or comment from any of the committee members?
Yes, I attended the Berkeley yearly wildfire prevention. I don't know that they have on Zoom. It was one of the chief, the chief education person, David Ripka, and it was terrific. It was awesome. At the end of the meeting, they talked about it. And it was wonderful to go, which is they're recommending. It's pre-exam.
Okay, I'm sure Johnny's taking note of that.
I didn't hear a single word of any of that.
You couldn't hear any of that?
No, I couldn't hear anything Katie was saying. I saw her talking, but it was
that's very quiet.
Okay, same here.
You can
same here.
Oh, okay. Wait. So let me. Okay.
Is there a summary?
Sorry.
So if they couldn't hear it, it didn't go on the tape. So if you could repeat it.
Yeah, I had said that last week. So that last week I had attended the brokerage once a year, yearly. It's still in session with the corporation.
Wait, no.
We need to mute Peter, or Peter, if you can mute yourself. There you go. Let's try again.
You're on.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that I had gone to the Berkeley yearly wildfire preparedness meeting, and it was fabulous. They had a full turnout of all their big wigs. And at the end of the meeting, they said they were really glad so many people have their to-go bags sitting by the door. That means they've been paying attention. But after analyzing the situation very, very closely, they're highly recommending pre-evacuation. So if you hear of something, you know, that's going on, you don't wait for somebody to tell you. Pre-evacuate if it's a high fire day, you know, and there's wind, and, you know, all the elements are there. Just go and visit a friend for a few days, but pre-evacuation is the way to go. So just, I think we need to get that word out to all of our residents. And I was saying that perhaps, Johnny, you could incorporate that into your doorknob hanger info. Thank you.
Yeah, the pre-evacuation is a strong encouraged. It's strongly encouraged in our wording as well. We're kind of following Berkeley on that. It's on our materials.
John, I'm trying to say something. Okay, John, speak up.
You didn't hear that, Larry?
Say it again, Johnny.
We're following Berkeley in that verbiage. We incorporated that the pre-evacuation that they've had in their communications. We incorporated it in 2021 and it continues in our communications.
Great. That's all we did. He said they put it in the door hangers in 2021. It's been there ever since. Okay, thank you very much, Johnny. Okay, moving on to the consent items. I have to confess that I have been underwater this month and I have not gotten any of the minutes, so there's no consent items to approve. That makes it easy, and there's no old business. So we'll pass right over that, and that brings us to new business. Yes.
I know the minute has been difficult to write them all up.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we could just do action minutes and not necessarily verbatim minutes for the committee, which would cut down on the effort that I know it takes.
Yes, if you look in the agenda packet for the board meeting, you'll see that I gave a report on the EPC, and that was the action minutes. So I'll see. I just haven't had the time do it. But yes, I recognize I'm falling for being back. Okay, new business. First order of new business is update by our prevention officer, FPO.
Yeah, there you go.
Travis Crumhacker, and he's going to give us an update on how inspections are going and FireWise communities and anything else you want to report on.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first of all, I introduce myself. Some of you know me, some of you may not know me. I've been a firefighter here for 19 years with El Cerrito. I've been teaching the CERT program for 18 of that. Now I just started in the fire prevention office in January. So I'm trying to play catch up right now because it's just me. And I'll speak on that in a minute. So that's kind of my background. I've been a captain for 5 years now. I go out of county pretty much all summer on all the big campaign fires. I just went to a conference for fire prevention down in Santa Barbara, where actually Chief Winokur from Roger Rendon, he taught the whole thing. So I'm up to date on the latest, greatest fire prevention statistics and everything. And that's kind of where I've settled in at. And so I'm here on behalf of Chief Sailors. And he couldn't make it today, so I spoke with him and my fire marshal Chief Catherine Holmes, who's in charge of CERT. So today I'm going to briefly talk about CERT, our fire prevention office, and the firewise communities are the three main topics in the cover. So if you got any questions, just let me know. If I don't have any answers today, I'll take them back to the fire marshal and Chief Taylor's, whatever I can get back. So. First, we'll talk about CERT. I understand there was the first week in May, there was a bunch of news. I guess it was very successful. It sold a lot of water barrels. I think La Miranda, their CERT. Was a big part of that, helping sell it and getting people ready for CERT with the water barrels. And I know that's, if you want to know when they're going to do it again, it's on their website for CERT, for that stuff. Also with CERT, we are going to use City of Sacramento CERT program. We're going to model their program the way we've been doing it the last basically 18 minutes. We've pretty much kind of been not the correct way. It's we've been leading the charge, and in every other city up in California, the citizens are the ones who teach and are the ones who basically are in charge. So that way, we're holding your hand all the time, doing all the teaching and everything. You know, it's hard to break that hand away when you guys actually have to do the stuff. And so this way, you guys are going to get, you know, your hands wrapped around the ball. And that way we're not going to do as much hand-holding. And that's going to set you guys up for success. That's the way most cities in California do it. So we're going to use that as a model rather than the way we have it. And that's kind of it's been a trend for the last 10 years. Just never caught up to that. So I know there's talks with Chris Hilliard. He's going through the program manager course. To help out with CERT. And I know Johnny is going to be recruiting a lot of volunteers, working hard with that to kind of pick this big ball up and keep it going. And since we're a smaller department and we have less resources and less people, it's a big strain on our budget. And that's, we're just not set up like these bigger cities, LA and Sacramento, to be able to do all this stuff. So we're going to rely more on the community for that stuff, which is what everybody else does. So we'll be par for the course with that. Hopefully we can get that ball rolling with CERT. Chief Dr. Home is working on the back end of it with Chris and Johnny and trying to get that. And Johnny, if you have anything to say about that, that I'm not in the loop on, please let me know. So that's CERT. Anybody have questions on CERT before I kind of move on to fire prevention? Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that it's going to be a while.
Yes.
The boot camp. I will talk to Chief Casper at home if you write that down. So the other great resource on our website is the whole CERT program is on there. So if you wanted to go on there and watch every single video in the class of everything, you can go through there and just revisit them all. That's not the hands-on stuff, but that's all the material, right? So you can start with that. And then the boot camp stuff, I know is in the works. We are going to be doing boot camps and the yearly stuff, but that's what where we come in is the fire department.
And the other thing you say is we need a certain force work, not use it. We did Pearson. We did not do this. He can use this for his in and he would do
Right. So kind of like in between the boot camp and full blown type of video.
Yeah.
Same top. Yeah. Okay. I'll bring that to Patrick Hahn and see if we can put some of that on the calendar and get some of that stuff. So, yes.
What's a boot camp?
So all the hands-on stuff with the pry bars and the cribbing blocks and the fire extinguishers, instead of going, going through the whole class, which takes a really long time before you get to the hands-on of the big end of the year drill, I would just set up a boot camp and it'd be like a one-day thing. Maybe 4 hours, maybe 8 hours, depending on how many people we have. And we would just do the skills. So we wouldn't cover any of the material. That would be assuming that you would already have been through the class. So it's kind of a refresher from the yearly drill or people who haven't done it in a couple years or just want to continue to use the fire extinguishers and the curvy blocks and stuff like that.
When I was actually two Saturday and Sunday.
Depending on how many people we have and how much goes into it. Yeah.
So there was some classroom instruction.
Okay.
But it did compress eight 1-night courses into two days.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you get under your scenario, do you get certified through that scenario?
You can't get certified through just the beginning. You have to go through the whole program.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be certified to be a cert volunteer.
No, I understand that. I mean, your description of 2 days and going through the material, so to suggest that there might be a
certain thing. Yes. And Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
And so I feel like that the boot camp would be a really good opportunity for us to get some photos and videos of the hands-on activities to help with recruitment material. So I feel like that would be a really good opportunity for us to get eyes on the program for the people to visually see and maybe capture some people that are new to the community that don't really understand what CERT is. And, it would be engaging content and would be helpful for recruitment. So I would love to prioritize that too.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll talk with Chief Captain Home about a boot camp, refresh, or whatever. We've done it all different ways. Basically we would have to get people to sign up first, and then that would dictate on how many engine companies we would send down to help. So, I got that as a note. I'll table that and bring that back. And fire prevention. So, anybody have more questions on the CERT? No? Okay. So, the next topic for me would be the fire prevention. So, I've driven. So, what we did this year, we kind of went back and forth a few different times. But what ended up happening is I drove every single street in Kensington and the very high hazard areas in El Cerrito, which is basically Navalier up to the top, all those houses. So that's what I just got done driving. We've already mailed out all the violations for Kensington, And El Cerrito will be getting mailed out probably next week. We'll start our process with that, with, you know, giving people their time to clean up the lot. And then I'll obviously go back through and check again on that stuff. So that's the fire prevention side. We're the Chief Taylor's is asking for, I'm not sure how much it is, but he's trying to increase his budget through the city manager to increase the fire prevention office. Because right now you should have basically around, you know, a third of your department in fire prevention. Currently we have one. So we should have probably nine. So that might be a little aggressive, maybe six, but we don't know. But anyways, he's asking the city for a lot more money so we can start to do our job even better, because we're way behind from like Berkeley and Rotorinda, who they obviously have a ton of money to grow this stuff. We don't. So if that gets approved, then what we're gonna end up doing is probably getting a bunch of more bodies to, you know, get out there and enforce way more of these weeds, because I can't enforce it all in the city. I can't handle basically fronting all of the money to write all these people up, because literally every single house would be written up if I did my job appropriately. To be honest, if you literally went by every single house, I could write something up on every house. So to be real. So yeah.
Well, we got to that. And what criteria were you using for these violations? And then what criteria would you use if we had all this land or personal prosecution?
Right. Well, we also have to think about the community and how people respond too. So for instance, so 0 to 5 and then 5 to 30. So 0 to 5 right now currently is a recommendation. We use CAL FIRE, we use all CAL FIRE. Okay. So 0 to 5, Chief Winokur, who taught my class, they can roll out 0 to 5 because they have a bunch of really rich people who just pay their landscapers to put in $50,000 worth of hardscape and they're done. They don't care, right? That's not going to work for our community. People don't have the money to do that. So there's been a lot of departments that were in our situation that rolled it out, and they had people lined out the door at the city council meetings, freaked out because they can't afford to do this and they don't want to be fined. And so those cities got so much pressure, they actually pulled back and said, we're not doing 0 to 5. This is crazy. Impossible. So those are the two different stories. You have, you know, affluent communities, you have communities that may be able to afford it, may not be able to afford it, because to truly hardscape your house, you're talking a ton of money and a ton of time. So it's not realistic just to go out there and write every single person up to tell them to hardscape their house. It's not a realistic thing. So we have to find what works for our community. That's not up to me, that's up to our fire marshal. He's gonna make those decisions. Right now, currently, we're following CAL FIRE. 0 to 5 is a recommendation this year. If he changes his mind, we have more people and more money next year, and he wants to enforce 0 to 5 next year, that's a whole other story. Okay, we'll deal with that when he gets there. But right now, that's not what we're doing this year currently. The city doesn't have the money or the manpower to even pull it from that, any of that. So this year, 0 to 5 is a recommendation. I am enforcing 5 to 30. So let me explain. I have a checklist, right? So if there's, you know, bunches of bushes together that don't have 6 feet clearance, you can look it up. We have it, it's on our website, and it'll tell you everything that for the sheets on there. So I drive by, and if your weeds are higher than 6 inches, weeds, trees that aren't limbed up from the bottom, unmaintained management, wood piles too close to the house, big ticket items, stuff that big violations is what I'm writing up. Okay. Because that's what we have the manpower and the resources for, is big ticket violations. So that's, yes.
And this is just visual from the street.
Is just visual. I cannot legally go into anybody's backyard. We cannot fly drones. Those are all off the table. And we don't have the manpower to do any of that either. So if I literally went by and did, if I spent 3 minutes writing up every single house, that would take me probably however many houses we have. We did the math. It would take me almost 2 to 3 months just to write that all up, because it's just me going around. Well, by the time you put those out, then it's 30 days. And then you get a second, you're into Christmas by the time you do that. So I'm the only one in fire prevention. So it's just not a feasible thing. You got to understand what I'm saying. So what I do is I drive by, and anything that's really, really bad is what gets written up and follow through. That's just what we have the budget and manpower for. It's a lot. Every single house in Kensington and then everything above now is here. So I just did that. I was in the park for probably 3 weeks and today. So that's it. Yep. So there you go. It's on our webpage.
Yeah, I mean, so you're using that checklist that you have on
your
vegetation.
Yeah, it's the same one we've used forever. It's it gets updated from Cal Fire because that's who we use. Cal Fire, right? So that's how that works. And then as we get more manpower, we'll be able to enforce even more of that. We'll be able to kind of I don't want to say nitpick, but enforce more of the codes as we hire more fire prevention officers. Because what we're going to do is we're going to take, I'm a captain, so it doesn't make sense to pay a captain to drive around and check for weed. It just doesn't make sense. Our chief knows that. So if we can hire 3 people for what I cost, and we could get 3 more eyes looking out there and enforcing violations and educating people and talking to people, that makes way more sense. So we're in a little bit of a restructure with that. Sounds like the city manager's hoping to improve. Don't know yet. Just all depends on the budget. But that's as transparent as I can be as far as I still. Okay.
One last question. Department of Forestry is in the process of adopting regulations for the Bill of the Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Once they adopt those regulations, do we need to be enforcing them?
Well, you don't have adopting is whatever the fire marshal decides to adopt. So it's
right, but it's part of state law.
But we don't fall under state law, we fall under city.
Okay. I won't belabor that.
Okay. Point. Yes. We're not Cal Fire, we're in Syria.
No, I know. Yeah. the state law, the legislature has adopted a law that says that you have to have industry zone. And that is supposed to translate down to local agents. That's my point. Because it is a state statute, regardless of what.
Right. They technically haven't signed that into legislation yet.
Well, no, the legislature passed. They haven't adopted the regulation.
Correct. Like I said, I just got back from Santa Barbara for Chief Winokur. Latest, greatest, quickest information. There's a lot of pushback on this because the whole state of California can't hardscape. They don't have the money. It just can't be done. So if you're going to enforce that, you're going to see people really upset everywhere. Besides people who can just go and get their garden, right? So it's already been rolled out, like I said, not to backtrack, but once we get word that that's been adopted, then that'll be up to my fire chief to decide. I don't make that decision.
Or guidance from the Board of Supervisors on how to deal with the 45 thing?
Well, it's technically up to our fire marshal. It's up to him. He came from Cal Fire, which is higher. Very familiar with Cal Fire. Yeah. So that's what we're using now. But it's whatever he decides to use is what our laws.
It's a conundrum because legislature has said,
don't have time.
You have to deal with this.
Oh, John. Yes. Sir.
So, a flyer came to us. Chris Hilliard has been in contact with Moraga Arinda and brought over a flyer that was made there that talks about Zone Zero and the steps to be in compliance. So we actually have that, and I've made copies or I ordered copies to be made to distribute. I'm also doing a publication that will go out about home hardening, defensible space, and talk about Zone Zero in the position that other communities around us are adopting ordinances. So I'm not saying we've adopted ordinances because we haven't yet, but that it's coming. So we have education material that is going to be talking about it, focusing on it, and talking about the California Assembly bill that was passed. So we do have communication on that that's going out, just so that everyone understands that we will be pushing this information out there until the regulation and the adoption of any ordinances are pushed through. So we're not lagging or waiting for any decisions. We're going to continue to push this information out.
Yeah, and so the violation that I send out, it has all the guidelines for 05 also. So when I write people up, they know exactly what 05 is, and I have examples, and they know exactly what the up to 30 is. So that's already on the violation that I send the people. And then it's all on our website too. The 05 is already on our website. So like I said, this is a very hot topic. People are very upset about it on both sides. You know, because people want them to do it, and then people also say, I can't afford to do it. So there's people on both sides who are very upset. It's a very hot topic. I don't make that decision. When I get word from the fire marshal, then I will enforce it if I'm told to enforce it. Until then, this year, it will not be enforced. Next year, we'll see. So that's where it's at with that. But we're not in Roger Ender, we're El Cerrito. So we have to work with what we have here. That's our community is El Cerrito, not Roger Ender. Or Berkeley. That's just not who we are. So we have to understand that. So that's the fire prevention side. Firewise, we have, looks like June 4th.
Yes.
Yep. From 4 to 6. Looks like there's going to be an event. Wildcat Firewise. It's on their Wildcat Firewise website. If anybody there would like to attend that, that's for Firewise.
I just got that invitation. I will send it out to everybody in the committee.
Okay.
And they're basically going to have three tables, and one table right next to the temporary firehouse. So I asked the chief sailor if we could have a fire engine for the kids, anything between 2 and 100.
Yeah. It's from 4 to 6 on June 4th. And yep, the rest of the information is on the Wildcat Firewise website. If you need more details. I think Alan Siegel is running that show. And that's what I have. Johnny, it's nice to finally see your face. Thank you for the email. Sorry I haven't got back to you. Hopefully I answered some of your questions today. I look forward to working with you on CERT, see what I could do with the boot camp and the tabletops for you, Kate. Happy to meet you guys. That's all I have for my stuff. Do you guys have, does anybody have any questions for fire prevention?
Any questions from the audience? Or
thank you.
I think
that's
it. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you. All right, well, thank you guys. Nice to meet you. Yeah. And,
Yes.
Yeah. I do it all. Yeah. That's the problem. We need more people. So we're trying to get it's on the way. Something is on the way. Sounds pretty promising. So once we can get some more people in, we can really bolster up this program. We have a lot of good ideas and that needs to be done to play catch up. So hopefully that all happens in the very near.
I think the big takeaway from here is that every resident in Kensington is on the high risk list.
Yeah, and speak to take points. The best thing you can do is obviously leave. You guys know that. You guys are here. This is not new information, but yeah, get out, be the first one. Don't wait to, yes, because we're not going to be able to drive the street. So, anyways. Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Okay.
That was great. Okay. The next item, which I really need guidance here, especially committee, this has to do with LRAD, the warning system, emergency warning systems. And in particular, I think we need to give a presentation to the board in full so that they, with recommendations as to how we should proceed, with the understanding that the board might have different recommendations to how we should proceed. But because we seem to be in this vicious circle that we just spinning our wheels, I guess it's best. And we need to get the board involved because this is a large ticket item. And we don't know at this point whether there'll be grants available for it or not. But at least personally, I'm a little frustrated by the fact that we're going fairly slow on this. And I know Katie's very frustrated.
People would like to move along.
Yeah. And for sure, at least they want to know what's going on.
Yes.
And I think that's a legitimate concern. So the question is, we can discuss it right now, but do we have some kind of an action plan for the board, or some kind of recommendation for an action plan? And can we have it either for the June meeting or for the July meeting? And I think the June meeting, which is only in a month, is probably very optimistic. But I think that we have a pretty good shot at having something for the July meeting. Yeah. And that would, in particular, I think, Dave, you did that beautiful little chart about the flow chart. That was yours, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was, if we fill that out with words and give it to the board. And, of course, we're not going to know how much it's going to cost. Not by July. But maybe we'll have some idea of how we find out how much it's going to cost because we really don't know.
They've given Kevin some financial information, but all we have to do is
you may ask again because it obviously.
Well, if you want to get a sense of what it costs, you could look at what Paradise is just paid for a system for their emergency warning system. They just installed it. And you could also look to Berkeley for that matter because they're installing theirs right now.
Are they?
Yeah. They're putting in three. Paradise has already put in 21. They just finished putting in 21. They're going to test the system on June 15th. Everyone's Siren, LRADs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Understand it. Yeah. So, anyways, so if you want to get a ballpark figure to present to the board, you could use both jurisdictions as an example. You're probably looking at $150,000 for a system, and that is
for pole.
Well, the whole, it's not only installation, but it's also maintenance.
Yeah.
And so,
did they say that now again?
It's about 150,000. That's a little bit conservative based on the Paradise example. So,
for how many?
21. Those are 21 systems that Paradise has put in. And it comes up.
So that sounds about like $3 million.
Yeah, roughly that.
of which 75% was from the feds and 25% was local monies. So, anyways.
No, I'm thinking about hearsay
or guesstimates. We just want to believe that. Oh, my word. Oh. Yeah. He's given a presentation before.
Right. Okay. The Paradise information is real time. You can take the 21 devices that they put in and divide it into what their costs are. And you line the costs out pretty specifically. So that's where my $150,000 estimate comes from. And that would be a reasonable real time estimate because they just put them in this year. And so, stuff we got from Genesis was a few years old. I would look at what Paradise has done. And I sent everybody around the Paradise RFP. So you have a sense of what the RFP said. And I also sent around the Genesis assessment for how many they needed and what the criteria. So it's a useful set of documents to utilize if you want to.
So it was Paradise that had the 21 sirens.
Yes.
How many are going into Berkeley?
15.
15.
They have five. They have five, I think, right now. And they're putting them on here. But I just wanted to speak up. Perhaps I haven't made myself clear. It's okay. By doing the division on those.
Well, if we're going to get, I think we have to understand a couple things. We have, I don't know how the county was there. Recommendation to us is because we've heard from CWS about our warning systems and how that gets integrated into theirs. And I think the last board meeting when one of the consultants to the CWS said that they maintain the sirens in the East Bay and they could do that, on these systems. So I think there needs to be a little bit of clarity as to what the county sees their role, if anything, other than integration into a warning system approach.
Yeah, I think the people from CWS did that presentation here, not at the board meeting.
They gave it here, and then there was a subsequent comment from their consultant. Maybe it was the last meeting we had here.
I think it was.
And we have a. Katie has her hand up.
Yeah,
so she may have something to add.
Okay, great. Katie Gone, I think, is from CWS. So we have two people from CWS on the line here. Maybe they can clarify things.
Hello. Hi, this is Katie. Can you hear me all right? Okay, great. It's a little hard to hear Katie and David when they're speaking. I think I might fill in a couple blanks here. I am the vendor for CWS. I support their account. And I'm with BlackBerry Ad Hoc. They are currently using our solution for the alert and warning system of Contra Costa County. We have folks on site in the county who service and maintain the sirens for CWS. We have two folks who are on call and maintain those sirens. That's a service that we provide. But we would definitely like to throw our hat in the ring and provide a quote for the current sirens that CWS is leveraging. We work with Contra Costa Electric and do it to install and set up the sirens and as well as maintain them. So I don't know if there was an RFP that was issued that we didn't see. So I just wanted to see if that was issued, and then also, you know, just be able to be considered and provide a quote for what we could provide for Kensington.
Hey, I didn't quite catch. Are you with CWS or are you a vendor for CWS?
Vendor.
I'm the vendor. I'm the account relationship manager for CWS. I manage the relationship between CWS and BlackBerry Ad Hoc. So I'm the vendor, and we work with American Signal and use their sirens. And then we also have a team of folks who live locally in Contra Costa County who have a bucket truck and maintain and service all of the sirens in that area, as well as assist with install.
Do you also do these LRADs, long range audio devices that you can actually use as a speaker, or are you just sirens?
We are sirens. There was a sound study, I believe, done in Kensington, and the reason that sirens were recommended was because of the topography of Kensington and reverberation off of the topography there. So we would like to be able to provide currently what we are providing for CWS, but we would need a little bit more information, which is why I was asking if there was perhaps an RFP that was missed or some sort of solicitation that was presented.
I don't think we're at that point. Yeah,
yeah,
not at that point.
No, we haven't issued an RFP. That's what actually is part of the discussion today.
Yes, whether I think we're trying to decide how are we going to do that.
Yeah, well, going back to my point, one, as you just heard, you know, what's the county's involvement, if any, with regard to this? And because we're not just talking about sirens, we're talking about an LRAD system, that's slightly different than just maintaining sirens. The other question I would have is whether we want to see if El Cerrito would be interested at all in partnering with an LRAD system. Because any system that we employ here in Kensington is going to spill over into El Cerrito, into the higher elevations. And so that would be another question I think might come. So those are a couple issues. But then as far as presenting the board with a recommendation, it would have to come from the committee. At least from my perspective, I think we should, if we decide we want to go forward, then it is whether the board wants to move forward with developing an RFP and how they would do that. We could at least suggest what the cost would be, as I said. And that would also depend on how many LRAD systems you're going to put in. You remember Chief Saylor's, when he talked about LRADs, he was just talking about LRADs above the aisle.
Yes.
And so one question that would be necessary to come to closure on is, are you going to put LRAD systems just above the aisle or throughout? Then you use LRAD systems for more than just wildfire, earthquake, then you want it throughout the community. So I would suggest that we go to the board, one, on a recommendation for an RFP. It would be an RFP for a complete. And then how would we proceed with that RFP? Would it be an RFP developed by this committee, which I would actually recommend against, if they don't have the expertise? Or would you get a consultant and utilize the Paradise information to come up with a RFP. Now, the board has in its budget $25,000 for a grant writer. Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to use some of that money to have an RFP developed by a consultant? And then,
do we have names at this?
I don't know. I'm just, you asked for a concept of going forward to the board, and so I'm trying to lay at least my thoughts out. And then, if the board, there are funding issues, obviously. I think a FEMA grant is quite possible for these devices. As you know, Larry, as I mentioned before, Paradise got 75% FEMA money, and I think you could easily argue that we're in the same position.
They got actually two grants, right? One to develop the system, one to design,
and one planning grant, and then the installation.
One is 10 times bigger than the other, right?
Yeah, they got a $30,000 FEMA grant for a $40,000 planning, and then the rest. For the build installation. So, yeah, well, it's between $2 and $3 million for actually building. But in talking to the Paradise folks, they suggested that you go forward if you want to get a FEMA grant, build both in as one. So it's an RFP for both planning and build, design, build.
Just include them in one
pack.
One RFP. Exactly. But what, different phases of something? Or?
Well, the RFP would be essentially having a
design and build.
Design and a build. So yes. A design and elaboration. Right. And you would have to do that first to know what the costs are to go to FEMA for a grant. And then the 25% left over, they did have to decide how we're going to do that. And that either comes out of maybe general fund or maybe there are some state OES ones.
Well, I think one of the selling points for the system would be that to remind everybody that we are in an Alpha-Triola zone.
Right.
We haven't had an earthquake in the recent past, but we're going to get one. And we're also experiencing more hazardous violent storms, which are not a fire risk, but when trees start blowing over, we may need to evacuate as well.
So it may have great potential for earthquake issues and even fire issues, because if you have a wildfire coming in from the park, you're going to be out of here. In fact, as Katie's recommended, we're out of here before you. So, I mean, you could, if you want to use the LRAD to tell people, get out now, yeah, you could do that. But it has, I think, as much use, if not more, relative to earthquakes, to advise people, you know, to shelter in place, to avoid streets, things like that, because you can have utilities down in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
It's been earthquake stuff is kind of forgotten for a while. I think we need to bring that back.
You certainly do.
It's amazing.
That is another emergency we need to prepare for.
Yeah. Really, somebody just sit down. The team who's on this project needs to just kind of sit down and kind of map on the steps. I think the first most important thing is to explain what these systems do to the board. Jason Neighbors are moving in this direction. The value, the way we would approach it, which is through FEMA, working hand in hand with FEMA staff to organize it in a way that fits the criteria of how they award funds and the timelines, you know, because I think in the Paradise situation, I remember they had a design plan and then they had to go to a separate fee for the construction, same person. So I don't know if we can do design build. These are the kind of things you want to find out right up front. And then kind of take it one step at a time. And basically the action of the board is, yes, we would like you to pursue drafting an RFP for the first phase of the system, you know, based on investigations with potential funding sources through FEMA and kind of like bring back the best approach and kind of draft of the RFP just for the design. Wouldn't that be the first step? I mean, we're kind of thinking on the spot here, but...
Only reflecting on what we heard from Paradise, and that was that you'd be better served if you combined it as a design and build. So,
we can check that.
Yeah. So, if you wanted, you could do it either way. You could do seek a grant for designing it, and go to FEMA for that. And once you've done that, then you would seek a grant to fund it because the planning would include the estimated cost for a full-blown system. So you go for the second grant, and then you did the RFP.
So FEMA pays for what percentage of them?
They pay 75%.
75%.
The hazard mitigation.
So that makes it doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we only have to pay one quarter of I heard numbers like $3-4 million floating around,
but that was the total cost.
Yeah.
Of which, you know,
we'd be on the hook for $1 million.
Yeah, but that's Paradise. Remember, that was 21 devices.
Yeah.
We're talking maybe five or six.
Well, on the other hand, if we do this with El Cerrito and we include the entire area above Navalier as
right.
I think the same area that if you're just worried about wildfires, the same area that we're expecting for wildfires. But if you're worried about earthquakes, they could have an earthquake down in San Pablo Avenue.
Right. Well, I mean that would be up to El Cerrito. That would be one of the options. Lisa's right. We need to educate the board on what these things are and their benefit and how they would be used. And they're not just fire issues. I mean, people have a misconception that it's not fire and it's not the house. Instead, earthquake is something that we've set back there, but we need to focus on as well. So yeah, it's educating the board and then I guess making the decision here as to whether you would recommend a two-step process or a one-step process. If you do a one-step process, it seems to me that you would put out an RFP for planning and design. And that would give you the amount, that would give you the design, it would give you a cost, and go to FEMA with that.
Okay, so the committee is Dave and Katie and I think Danielle. Do you think the three of you could come up with a draft presentation by the next emergency preparedness committee meeting that we could review and schedule to give to the board by July? Is that a doable thing? Doing exactly the same stuff that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I won't speak to Daniel and Katie, but I think I could help.
Could we use a film presentation if I asked film presentation as to what the ball does and show that at the meeting?
How it functions.
Exactly, yeah.
I couldn't hear Katie, but I wanted to say that what we can do is we can take the flowchart that I made and we can just put those into a presentation format and then go ahead and elaborate in detail for each of those squares, which broach all of the topics that everyone has been saying this entire time. It talks about the prioritize to one proposal versus two. It talks about what purpose you could use them for. It goes through all of that. It talks about parallel track for getting FEMA funding. And so if we can just transfer all those boxes into PowerPoint slides and then elaborate, I think we will cover everything that needs to be covered. And I can do that actually.
Let me just really quickly. Danielle put the flowchart together. I just gave her some ideas as to what was needed in the flowchart. So, yeah, I agree with Danielle. I think we could use that flowchart and just build a presentation around it.
And I definitely think we should put the presentation. The focus of the presentation is on all emergencies.
Oh yeah.
So we're doing wildfires, we're doing earthquakes, we're doing landslides, and we're doing atmospheric rivers. Because that last atmospheric river damn near did us in. And there's no reason to expect we're not gonna have the same problem next fall, right?
And it makes for a better sell FEMA because their whole idea is to mitigate hazards and we have multiple ones.
Yes. Yeah, we live in a very unsafe place.
No, you don't.
The post read or
let me explain what the situation is. Okay. So to get a grant from FEMA, you're going to have, as Katie is alluding to, we need to have a local hazard mitigation plan in place. The last one was done for both the fire district and the police district, two separate ones, were done in 2015-16. Katie and Peter were instrumental in doing one for the police district. It is part of the county's overall hazard mitigation plan. So it is obsolete in a way. It needs to be updated because it speaks nothing to the need for LRADs. Okay, it's not LRADs. So we would have to update that system in the county. Well, the county is in the process of beginning the preparation of an updated system. So they want, so they're asking the different jurisdictions, and my board, who the general manager, has indicated to Contra Costa County that we would participate in their integrated emergency preparedness plan, which would include the local hazard mitigation as it does now. So if we were going to go to FEMA, we would have to get an updated plan fire site.
This is an entirely different document from the wildfire protection plan that we put the fire council actually put together.
FEMA.
Like
the plan. It has to be part of FEMA. Well, state and district.
And state.
And
Peter, do you remember what the other one said?
And the next question is who did it?
Well, on your side, on the fire side, it's also the fire department.
Michael Bond.
Yeah.
And who on the police side?
Gady and Peter were the authors.
So this was like KPFT then?
No, like two entities.
So if you wanna see it, Larry, you can go on the Contra Costa County OES website. You know, it's a two-volume document. They had a consultant, Tetra Tech, produce the overall plan, the two-volume plan. The first part is just an overview of litigation issues, hazard identification, all that. Second volume, individual plans for each jurisdiction, including Katie's plan for the police district and your plan for the fire district. And the county is now in the process of beginning to do an update of that. And so that would have to be done for our FEMA grant
application. Okay, so that's part of the application process to get
done.
I talked to the chief after your last meeting and raised the issue about local hazard.
The board meeting.
Yeah, the board meeting. Yes, I talked to him after the meeting about local hazard mitigation plan, the fact that it was updated, and he recognizes it. Anyways, that it has to be done. If you're going to go there.
Okay. Well, that sounds like so. And that, in terms of this, what we're talking about for the next EPC meeting, that will be one of the things that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
We don't have to have this plan.
We didn't in the first place, but
his plan can take up 6 months or more to write.
Yeah.
So you and I did it ready to do it in 6 months. Other people say, like, a year.
That's why you said it sounded like a nightmare. Didn't have everything involved with the team. And I'm embarrassed that I don't even know.
I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link to the document, and then you will be up to date on it. But your point is well taken in this presentation to the board. We would have to raise that point as well.
Yeah, and I would venture to guess, have you ever heard of hazard mitigation plan?
I have. Not
that I remember.
I have. Yeah.
You have.
Yeah. At least you have a general manager.
Okay. And they don't believe this as well. They
want to go. I think we the wildfire mitigation plan that I, which I and went to many, many meetings. If that's
well, one of the hazards in the hazard mitigation plan is wildfire, so it ranks the hazard, right?
It's wildfire.
In the hazard mitigation plan, one of the hazards is wildfire, and in Kensington and elsewhere, it's ranked very high. So you'll be able to read it
okay.
Soon.
Cool.
So, but Lisa's point is very well taken. We need to, we need to develop a presentation and educate the board from the beginning as to the importance of these things and what they are and so.
Yeah,
three of us will do it.
And now I've already been informed by our president that the June meeting is going to be extremely busy. So if we can have this ready to, ready to go for the July meeting, I think that'll be.
Well, let's prepare it for dry run.
That would be great.
I was just going to say, I think probably the most important thing is what are you actually asking of the board? And so as this is developed, it might change, but, maybe it would be the first step in the draft or the, process. And I don't know if that requires a budget consideration, not just to draft the RFP, but the budget's coming right up. So if that's part of it, probably.
Yeah,
that's good. Points. Yeah. What is the X?
Well, my point being that you do have a line item for a grant writer, and that might be a vehicle for funding something like development. But that's, again, something the board would have. That could be a recommendation from this committee if you want.
That we need a grant writer to work on this.
And using some of that allocation. Well, if you're going to carry the allocation through next fiscal year, that's the first.
We don't need a grant writer. We can just have Murray back there.
I have something to say real quick. So I used to work for a consulting firm that does disaster mitigation plan and safety elements for cities in Southern California. And the one that they're working on right now is a refreshment of their Newport, city of Newport Beach. And so one of the things that they're requiring in their disaster mitigation plan is a risk assessment. And usually FEMA requires their free software called HAZIS to use their HAZIS program to calculate the assessed risk as part of that plan. So there could be an issue with the disaster mitigation plan from 2016. It may need this HAZIS risk component to added to it. And that's something that usually you farm out to a consultant, but I've actually done it before. There's another snafu I won't go into, but it's something to consider that just revising the disaster mitigation plan may not be enough for us to get a FEMA grant. We need to check to see if they require that hazard risk assessment as well.
Yeah, and to Danielle's point, that update would have to be approved by FEMA anyway. So I assume they will be taking into account whether we use them.
I'm guessing that if there was a catastrophe or some whatever subtype, and we were looking to apply to FEMA for relief, that they would say, well, where's your hazard mitigation plan?
Yeah.
And if we didn't have one, we would be.
Timing issue.
Yeah. So it's something. The hazard risk mitigation plan transcends the OGAS, but is a necessary part of the.
Yeah. If you want to keep the money and.
Yeah. I don't think you can do this without FEMA. Some people, we just have bags of money in the engine bay, but we don't.
It's an integral part of this whole,
Okay, great. Well, I look forward to the presentation, and I look forward to getting that link, and you will. I didn't even know it existed. I'm terribly embarrassed to this thing.
Yes. For this specific need, perhaps we should.
Is it?
Yes.
I did mention his name to Chief Saylor because they're looking for a wind meter.
His name is
I am going to respond to the email. I promise. Okay, I'm going to, at this point, turn it over to Don because
okay.
I have to get out of here.
Not far behind you.
So, yeah. Cool. Go ahead, Don. Take it away. I'm going to shut down and breathe.
Okay.
Yeah. Be sure the next crisis.
Okay. So then we'll just continue in this item and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're the next thing is report by subcommittee. So I think you're ripped off. Did you know that Katie Helen Hand is still up? Is that, that she wouldn't say anything before we ended?
Katie, did you have something else? Your hand still raised. I think it might just be a holdover. Yeah.
People sometimes forget the word.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Don, take it away.
I'm leaving. Yes.
Okay. You want to continue on? Today?
Well, I've
worn out.
I can't hear Katie at all.
Yeah. I suggested
Katie, can't hear your audio.
Yeah, we can't hear you at all, Katie. I'm so sorry, but we can't hear you.
Oh,
yeah. 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 Let me talk to you. I think he's actually trying to disengage himself.
Is this on the agenda? This is not on the agenda. I think this is offline.
Well, yeah, that was. Okay.
It has to be on the agenda.
Never mind.
Thank you.
Okay, any other subcommittee reports?
Do you
want to continue?
Fine. Good.
So the agenda is you're targeting there.
The agenda, well, we're not. Let's see, yes. Report for subcommittee. I certainly can't do that.
Well, we got Johnny and others.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. So, okay. Go.
I hear an echo. Okay. So, for volunteer recruitment, I sent out an email to the subcommittee. It was like a creative brief with a bunch of ideas, and then the feedback that I did get from it, I composed a program which I pitched to the chief, and yesterday I was Tuesday I had a meeting with the chief and went over the content for the CERT recruitment plan, and he asked for a a press release, which he received and he revised. So now we have a finalized press release, which will go through both El Cerrito and Kensington, and it'll be sent over to the Kensington Outlook for publication in the next month's publication. And I'm going to have banners and posters made that'll have a link and a QR code with Chris Hilliard's survey that he made a few years ago about emergency preparedness. So the idea is to push the survey out there for people to, for residents to assess their emergency preparedness at home. And also there's a component in there for people who would be interested in getting CERT trained or, you know, volunteering as well. So that will capture those people who are interested in doing a little bit more, getting trained up for the community. And we can see where they are in the community as well. So we'll be able to map that information with the optional input that they provide with their address. So that we'll see where they are in both El Cerrito and Kensington and kind of devise a plan around that with training and developing, you know, a little bit more organization. So I don't know if Travis touched on this in his presentation. It was a little bit hard to hear him sometimes, but we are reorganizing the CERT groups and aligning them to the zones for Zone Haven. So there's going to be a little bit of a shift geographically, and it's going to be optimized, ranking them into directly into the fire department structure. So there's going to be a little bit more hierarchical structure to it. And the hopes is to, you know, just kind of fortify and strengthen the organization throughout the community with CERT. So that's the update for the volunteer recruitment. Door hangers, I've broken out all of Kensington on maps and started kind of outlining the best ways and to distribute the door hangers. So I am targeting a launch for as soon as June 15th to start distributing the door hangers through Kensington. So as soon as I finish up some of these areas and assignments, I'll start sending that out to the groups that have already raised their hand, and hopefully with a targeted date, we'll start to get more, you know, firmed up interest so that we can get these things distributed. It looks a lot scarier than it did initially, but when I'm looking street by street and looking in the Zone Haven zones, some of these areas are a lot smaller than I anticipated. So it's a lot more palatable than I thought it was going to be. So I think we're going to be in good shape to get these door hangers distributed with the volunteers that are raising their hands. And we're thankful that we have the participation that we have. So thank you to everyone and for, you know, reaching out to the community to get this participation for this initiative. Let me see what else is there. The evacuation drill subcommittee.
Oh, Johnny?
Quick questions.
Yeah.
Confirmed date. You know, some of them have the capacity to reach out to larger groups, maybe the Kensington Improvement Club has a mailing list, KPOA, to try to see if there are other volunteers who we can perhaps find up. So when you're sure about the date, when you have the door hangers ready to go, you know, that's a good time for us to kind of like ask people to commit. A day or a morning or whatever it is. So as that develops, just let us know if we're going to come to June. It'd be helpful to give people a couple week notice.
Okay, yeah. So we'll have it's the distribution isn't going to be like, oh, the 15th at 10 a.m. only. We're going to have a kind of a broad spectrum saying, hey, if you guys can get these out within the next 3 weeks, it'll be pretty loose just so that way we can have a lot more flexibility for people to participate. Your audio was kind of chopping in and out, but I hope I kind of answered that.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Johnny, one question. You're making a presentation at the KPOA meeting, annual meeting?
Yes, June 3rd at 10 a.m.
Yeah, so you may want to make note of this at that meeting as well.
Yep, definitely. Let's see, what else is on here? Was there any updates from the evacuation drill subcommittee?
No, sounds like
just that. Being pushed to next year. And the community wildfire preparedness and prevention projects. I'm pushing pretty hard to get more FireWise communities established and using Wildcat FireWise as a template. So the June 4th launch party, as Travis mentioned, it's going to be a great way to kind of showcase or to begin showcasing what that wildfire FireWise community looks like for Kensington. So they have a lot of really good resources there and a lot of initiatives. So I think it's, as we continue to just see what they're doing, we just kind of cut, copy and paste and get interest from other parts of Kensington to implement some of these additional FireWise communities. So I think the hardest part was just getting the first one established. I know there was a lot of, inquiries around how this will work and what is it going to take to get this started? Well, we have it now. And I think it's going to be really good momentum just to continue to push it along and see where else we can get these FireWise communities established in the community.
Johnny, would it be worth looking to get some money from Cal Fire? They're making available $5,000 for FireWise community development. Part of that is a measure of excellence. I think it is. Yeah, they're taking some of that Measure X money.
I think I remember seeing Alan mentioning it. I don't know if he was pursuing it or how he could. I'll follow up with him to see if that's on his radar still.
Yeah, I was just wondering if any, that could be maybe an incentive for other FireWise groups in Kensington to seek at least some of that money. It's only $5,000, but it would be worth it maybe.
Okay.
And the application is on the the Contra Costa Fire website.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments of the subcommittees?
No, I think so.
So we've covered
subcommittees. Yeah. So next would be John's.
All right, now I'll fill in some of these other blanks. Okay, so like we just mentioned, the KPOA presentation is on June 3rd. I'm going to be covering, some of the basics of preparedness. I'll talk about the survey and help try to get people to sign up for the red flag notification emails that we send out when there is a red flag. I'll briefly talk about defensible space and home hardening and the zone zero information that's been kind of trending in the area. I'll touch on FireWise, CERT, and volunteer recruitment and try to get others to think about planning the neighborhood emergency preparedness block parties this summer, or at the very least, like a national night out for August. So I really want to get some of these things scheduled again this summer. I hopefully the people didn't think it was just a one-time thing. I want it to be recurring. Alan's been doing a really good job with the FireWise community, getting people, activated and, getting neighbors face-to-face. So I that's definitely the model we need to see across Kensington is a lot more community interaction face to face with neighbors to help build this culture of preparedness. The launch party is on June 4th from 4 to 6. So I'm going to have materials out there. I'll have my vertical pullout banners for registering for all the alerts and notifications. And I have printed materials for like defensible space that I'll have at those tables as well. The door hanger distribution we just touched on. So I'm targeting the start of this campaign for June 15th, and then we can, you know, see how long it takes to get the flyers out for the rest of June into July. But I don't think it's going to take that long. As soon as we get everyone's flyers in hand, I think it'll go pretty quickly. The CERT campaign I touched on. So we'll have a release in the end of June into July, since the Outlook will come out in the end of June, July as well. I'll have banners and posters in high visible areas in the community to, you know, highlight the CERT announcement and to drive recruitment. And then I also have magnets for Red Flag Day notifications that people can have on their fridge, and it has the link to get more information on red flag warning days. So those have already been made. I'm just going to have a one pager with some information, integrate the survey. And I know Danielle wanted to do a map, so we'll have that out in probably the early to mid July. And that'll get distributed through the mail, to all residents. And then I start doing a fall publication to talk about defensible space again, a little bit more in detail with resources for home hardening, and what else? I think that's the bulk of it. A lot happening in June and July. So are there any questions?
Do you have any summary on the paper shredding day?
I didn't catch that.
Oh, paper shredding day. Did you have any report on it?
Oh, so I thought the location at the Unitarian Universalist Church went really well. We didn't have issues with traffic being backed up in Arlington. You know, a lot of conflict with people pulling in to the library or the park and then trying to back out on the one way. So I felt that location worked really well. There were a lot of residents that had never been to that part of the community, so they were really kind of surprised that the church was even existed. So that was interesting. And I think it was really good for their kind of local awareness as well. But I felt like the location was really good. I wouldn't mind having there going forward.
So now I have 7. Item 7 from the agenda.
I think we're done with the volunteer recruitment. Other issues we're talking about, the door hangers.
So 7 is just report from any committee members. So committee members, anybody that would like to report on anything? You would come in and for me. Yeah, I'm doing that.
Am I unmuted? How's it? Oh, great. Okay, I just wanted to report after our last meeting where we talked about fire vegetation management, you know, I made a comment about the evacuation routes and the tree cover that's on some of the critical evacuation routes, which was identified in the plan that was done on the evacuation study. In that study, they recommended particular streets where the vegetation seemed to conflict with the evacuation. And those streets were, segments of Coventry Road between Eldridge Court and Stratford Road, the entirety of Sunset Drive, and Arlington Avenue in the vicinity of Sunset Drive. So not a lot of streets were identified as most critical for the kind of tree cover. And I did write to the fire marshal and ask them if that could be included in the vegetation management program. And I got an email back that basically was a little bit vague in terms of how to proceed with trying to clear some of that overhead vegetation and hanging vegetation from those critical routes. So I'm just bringing this up because I asked him a follow-up question to his email. I haven't heard back, but basically was kind of like, has anybody contacted the residents on the street and, kind of like done a little bit of community outreach to those people who might be affected by needing to cut some of the vegetation before the fire marshal kind of like weighed in, sounded like. So anyway, I bring it to the attention of the group here just to find out if anybody is interested in probably, knocking on doors and just doing a little public education to those folks who seem to have vegetation growing over the roadways. And it could be part of the county as well over the roadways, but just to see what people's kind of take on that was in terms of trying to eliminate as many major hazards of fire, fire pathways over those critical few evacuation routes. So I just bring it up to the committee before I get back to the fire marshal, which my follow-up question that I haven't heard back on, but just to see if that's an issue anybody else is particularly interested in on this committee.
I mean, it's just where I live, but the sycamores that, not the sycamores, but the bay trees that come down where I live, they're the next, the roots are all on the next neighborhood. And it comes over halfway over our house, and I don't see, I mean, I've been thinking about it. It's good thing to think about. The bay must hang on. That's a water, kind of a water type thing. So they might hang on better than other places, but a little scary.
Yeah, I think the concern of the evacuation plan was particularly on the roadways that,
yes,
where cars just can't get through because,
where I live is
right there. It's on the Arlington. Yeah. I know it's tricky. I mean, I don't know how, we don't really know how receptive the residents would be, but I just wanted to bring it up to this committee because it's kind of part of the evacuation thinking and the vegetation management piece.
That's the thinking on your part.
We'll see.
I think if a note or letter to the people is phrased properly and they really take to heart the fact that this is a danger. And the potential. That would move them to do something.
Because there's impact really to the entire community during that moment of evacuation. It's huge impact. So, okay, well, just a little bit.
Yeah, I think it might be worthwhile. I know when the county was asked to look at the stop sign between Westminster and Kenyon, the stop sign was totally obliterated by vegetation, and they talked to the residents and they were more than happy to allow them to come in and prune it. So, this might be something that would be useful to reduce the risk during a wildfire.
Our neighbor they're not going to undertake on their
right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is the county, it's the county with the roads, and the county seems to be amenable to come in and doing some of that pruning to take it off at least
road streets.
Okay, well, maybe I'll keep poking around on this and report back at some point, but I just wanted to share that information with this community.
I know the county has
I can't hear you.
I know the county
Danielle speaking.
the county is able to send a letter to a resident requiring them or telling them that they need to abate some sort of vegetation, because our neighbor has had the county, has requested the county to do that for another neighbor, for a big pine tree. So it's something that you can actually approach the county, and they will, if you, I think, show that we had a tree assessment done, but if you can show, you know, cause, the county might be able to actually help enforce and move that forward as well.
Danielle, we didn't hear the first part of your story.
I'll just give you the example for our house. Our house and our neighbor, we're near a tree that is of moderate risk. So the tree, we had to find out from the county whether or not it was on public property or somebody else's property. It ended up being on private property, so we can't do anything about it. However, the county has offered to write the owner of that property and let them know that they need to take care of that tree. I'm not sure what the actual enforcement looks like, but the county was willing to write an owner of a property and say, hey, you need to take care of that. Okay. So maybe that is an avenue that can be pursued as well.
Thank you.
We're moving on. Okay.
So I think we're to the adjournment.
Agenda item number 8.
So obviously I haven't done this
for a while. So we're on the adjournment. So we're at the point where the next.
Oh, we are. Okay.
Yeah. So did you want to read that last paragraph, or do you want me to?
You can do it.
All right. The next regular meeting of the Emergency Preparedness Committee of the Kensington Fire Protection District will be held on June 22nd, 3 p.m. in person for the committee members at the Kensington Community Center, with hybrid option for attendees, guest speakers, public, unless otherwise is noted. All right. So we are adjourned.
Great.
Thank you, everyone.